We'll be looking here in Romans chapter 12 this evening in verses 17 down through verse number 21. Several months ago, you might have remembered, I'm sure you probably heard by now, the man by the name of Charlie Kirk was assassinated by a homosexual who was in a sinful transgender relationship. And this tragic death both shocked those on the right side of the political spectrum and those that were on the left side of the political spectrum. But through his martyrdom, it sparked an even bigger movement for the Lord Jesus Christ and biblical values and biblical doctrines. And I'm reminded how we serve a God who just knows everything, as we learned in this morning's message. I'm reminded of Romans 8 and verse number 28. We oftentimes quote that, maybe rather abruptly, but the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And I think the great tragedy has me thinking about this thought on how to overcome evil with good instead of being overcome by evil. We live in a world that's full of the world, the flesh, and the devil. If we're not careful, we'll be overcome with evil. And if we're not careful, the evil of this world can overcome into our thoughts, which leads to our actions. And so it's important for you and I to understand this evening how to overcome evil with good. Warren Wiersbe writes this in one of his commentaries. He said, "Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. As a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do." That word overcome originates from a Greek root word meaning to prevail over. It means to master over. It means to be victorious. And we face a choice in every situation that we have in this life. We say, well, what are the two choices? Number one, we can be a victor, or we can be vanquished. And too many believers today struggle to experience consistent victory, maybe over anger, maybe over fear, maybe over gossip, maybe over selfish desires. But understand this evening that Jesus wants all of us to experience his life in all of its abundance. As a matter of fact, he tells it in so many words himself. But I think today, too many Christians today allow themselves to be defeated by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They allow themselves to be overcome with evil instead of overcoming evil with good. Tonight I want to share some guidelines on how that to overcome evil with good instead of succumbing to the power of evil that seems to defeat us across our emotions, our mental stability, our physicalness, our social and spiritual levels. We can overcome him if we'll do that. So let's stand this evening as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. We begin reading in Romans 12, verses 17 down through verse number 21. And then if you haven't already picked one up after I'm done praying, if you'll raise your hand as you sit down, the men have an outline for you to follow along. We'll to be a help to you. Let's read here in Romans chapter number 12, beginning in verse number 17 down through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire upon his head." Notice verse number 21. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this evening. We thank you for this wonderful verse. And Father, in light of all that has happened several months ago with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, Father, it would be easy for us to think this thought, how come evil is overrunning us? But Father, it doesn't have to be that way. Your word tells us not to be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So tonight, Father, as we look at your word through varying scriptures this evening, Father, I pray you'll be a help to us, that Lord, we'll learn how we can overcome evil with good. So Lord, I pray now you be a help to us. Bless us, Father. Be with those that can't be here this evening. We love them. We miss them here in these services. So we pray now and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have not got an outline, you may be seated. Raise your hand and the usher will bring one by. Perhaps some of you have already gotten one. I think William needs one there. Notice, first of all, in our outline today. Now, I give you an outline for the purpose of being able to review what you've already learned. Adrian needs one up here in the front. But listen, it's not about the outline. It's about you hearing and understanding the Word of God. If following an outline trips you up and keeps you from hearing and understanding, allowing God's Holy Spirit to work in your heart, then please just fold a crease in the middle of it and put it to the back of your Bible and take a look at it some other time. So we see, first of all, number one, how can we overcome evil with good? Well, we see, first of all, if you're filling in the blanks, we need to praise God. Praise God that you're already a conqueror through Christ, which loves you. You see, I've given you a couple of verses there, so I'm going to read verses tonight. You don't necessarily have to turn there if you want to keep taking notes this evening, but I'm reminded of Romans 8 and verse number 37, where Paul is writing and says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You see, you and I are not conquerors of our own self. We're only conquerors through Jesus Christ. Thank God that he has made you and he's made me a conqueror over sin, over our human desires, over evil through the power of Jesus Christ that lives and dwells inside each believer through the Holy Spirit of God. I think today too many Christians really just fail to recognize and utilize this power of Christ to help them accomplish everything God asks of them. You see, our trouble is this, that we think that we're strong in the Lord. We think we have a great maturity in the Lord, and we may or may not have that. But we think we have the answers. We can accomplish everything. And I want you to understand that we are only conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved you. We can't experience what it is to be an overcomer unless we recognize and thank God for what we already have. What do we have? We have a new identity in Jesus Christ, in the body of believers that you and I belong to. That's our identity. That's where our strength comes from. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, said this, "And he had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So I want you to understand this evening, if you want to overcome evil with good, you're going to have to, first of all, you're going to praise God that you already are a conqueror. You're not going to be a conqueror. You already are a conqueror through what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then secondly, this evening, if you want to overcome evil with good, you're going to have to, number two, overshadow any opposition with his mighty power. Overshadow any opposition with his mighty power. To overshadow something is to let it appear much more prominent or much more important than you think it really is. I think we need to be like Mary, who learned how to let the power of God overshadow her and any negative criticism, any misunderstanding that might have been about Mary or misconstruing of the facts when she was told by the angel in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And after hearing that, we find that Mary replies back to the angel and answered to the angel in Luke 1 and verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You see, if you want to overcome evil with good, you're going to have to overshadow any opposition with his mighty power. And again, it's not our mighty power, it's his mighty power. And then number three this evening, we need to overlook another's fault. Overlook another's fault. To overlook a fault really means this. It means that we fail to notice, we ignore, and to look beyond the other person's fault. I'm reminded of Proverbs 19 and verse number 11 that says this, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass through a transgression. So we need to really learn to overcome any problem through the power of Jesus Christ that resides in us. In this day and age that we live in, where lawsuits are so prevalent and people are so quick to demand their rights, Paul teaches us simply this, that not to take vengeance ourselves, but to leave space for the wrath of God. Listen, any vengeance you can take will mean nothing compared to the vengeance or the wrath that God would bring upon them. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, again we find Paul writing, he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." As we think about Romans 12 and 19, as we apply this truth to our life, as we begin really to understand that we need to look over another one's fault, we must embrace forgiveness to break the cycle of retaliation and achieve reconciliation. You see, that's what it's about. It's not about you retaliating against someone. It's not about you getting revenge from them. It ought to be about reconciliation, where you and them can have the same heart and the same mind and going the same way as the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the alternative is terrible, because returning evil for evil just hurts us as much as it hurts the opponent that waged war against you. You both get hurt. They get hurt and you get hurt. But forgiving another person lifts the heavy burden of bitterness that corrupts many Christians today. I think we need to choose to be better rather than bitter for every situation that we live in. Well, we see this, that we need to overlook another's fault. If we're going to overcome evil with good, we're going to have to do that. But notice number 4 on your sheet. You're going to have to overflow with love, hope, joy, and faith. Psalm 23:5 says this, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." And notice the last part, you could probably say it with me, "My cup runneth over." That word "runneth over" means to overflow to the point of saturation. It suggests this, that to extend beyond the limits by going over top the brim of a vessel. So we find this, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And so, my friends, as we receive a hope, love, and joy, and even faith from our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, we ought to overflow ourselves with that. People who allow the Spirit of God to empower them will have the spiritual resources that are necessary, that allows them to overflow with kindness and patience and righteousness. And people who overflow with the fruit of the Spirit will be able to replace any negative tendencies with righteousness, goodness, faith, love, and peace. A person who's in close communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, with His Spirit, and with His Word will overflow with the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. I think of Matthew Henry in his commentary wrote this, "He that cannot quietly bear an injury is perfectly conquered by it." Boy, think about that. He that cannot quietly bear an injury is perfectly conquered by it. We see, fourthly, that if we're going to overcome evil with good, we're going to have to overflow with love, hope, joy, and faith. But then notice, fifthly, this evening, if we're going to overcome evil with good, we're going to have to, number 5, overpower with Christ's mighty power working in and through you. We're going to have to overpower with Christ's mighty power working in and through you. I'm reminded of Paul writing to the church at Philippi in Matthew 4 and verse 13. He says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And again, we're kind of hitting back on something we already have covered before. We overpower with Christ's mighty power, not our fleshly power, not our carnal power, not your intelligent brain power that you may or may not have. We overpower through Christ's mighty working power in and through us. Notice, first of all, that we need to connect to the power of Christ's Word, His presence, and His love. And then number two, we need to avoid responding out of your flesh. Avoid responding out of your flesh instead of rely on Christ's power within you. You see, our first tendency is immediately to respond out of the flesh when we're attacked. But listen, we need to overpower with Christ's mighty power. We need to overpower evil with good through Christ's good in us. I'm reminded of Paul again writing to the church at Philippi in chapter 1 and verse number 6. He said this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, don't doubt, worry, or get sidetracked by insignificant problems that arise in your life. I'm reminded of what God told Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4 in verse number 6. He said this, not by my might nor by power, but by the Spirit saith the Lord of hosts. And so, my friend, if you and I are going to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we talked about this morning, if we were going to overcome evil with good, we're going to have to overpower with Christ's mighty power working in and through us. But then notice number six tonight, we need to overrule. Overrule with the power of the Holy Spirit's presence, power, and perspective. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in his second epistle to them in chapter 12 and verse 9, says this, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That Greek word for sufficient means to be content. It means to be enough. It means to suffice. It means to be all sufficient. And because of God's grace in our life, along with the Spirit and Word of God, we have enough power to overcome any opposition that may come our way. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. And so, my friend, as we look to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to understand this, that if we are going to take care of evil in this world, we're going to have to overrule with the power of the Holy Spirit's power, presence, and perspective on our life. We think of Jesus in John 16 and verse 33. He said this, in the world you shall have tribulation, and be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But in John 14, verse 16, he says this, and I pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. He will guide you in all truth. Listen, when you're being attacked and evilness seems to be just creeping in upon you and you don't know where to turn, listen, we turn to him. The Holy Spirit of God is our God. He'll guide you in all truth. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. There is no corruption, no sinfulness in the Holy Spirit. And when he leads us and guides us, it will be in truth. I want to remind you of Philippians 2 and verse number 13. The Bible says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Philippians 2 and verse 13. I thought about this, that right actions often lead to good feelings. Right actions that we do often lead to good feelings, but don't wait until you feel like becoming an overcomer. Be an overcomer because we have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, number seven, if you want to overcome evil with good, number seven, don't overblow negative pressures. Don't overblow negative pressures. I think today our problem is simply this, because oftentimes we live in the flesh, we live in the world, that there's too many problems that are exaggerated by people. Not only are the problems exaggerated, but they're overestimated. And the significance of a difficulty beyond their ability to handle it. So when something comes our way, we look at it and go, oh my, that problem is so big. I can't handle it. It's too difficult for me. Let me remind you that it might be beyond your ability to handle. It might be beyond your ability to have, but guess what? It's never beyond God's ability. And if you're trying to accomplish it in your ability, it's going to come to naught anyhow. So we need to put our faith and trust in God. I think people who let minor offenses be exaggerate are giving in to their emotions. They're giving in to their carnal flesh when they allow a minor offense to be exaggerated they're giving in to their emotions. Rather, we ought to do this. We ought to think clearly about the faith that we have in God and offering that forgiveness that needs to come. Well, look at number 8. What are we going to do if we want to overcome evil with good? Number 8, do not overreact to problems. It's similar to number 7, but yeah, still a little bit different. Notice, first of all, people, if you're taking notes, people sometimes react more strongly than necessary when they feel irritated. When they've been hurt or they feel irritated, they lash out with their tongue. Their mind is going a mile a minute. And most instances of road rage today are example of people overreacting. Listen, I'm sorry someone cut you off, but you know, it's done. Let it go. You don't need to flash your lights. You don't need to give them the wave. You don't need to beep your horn or pull in front of them and slow down to a stop on Interstate 64. We ought to let the Holy Spirit guide us and guide them in practicing self-control while we drive. And you say, well, thank God I don't have a problem with that. Well, it might not be driving, but who knows what it may or may not be in your life as well. People sometimes react more strongly than necessary when they feel irritated. But notice, secondly, parents who overreact to their children's quirks often need to demonstrate love, concern, and calmness as they help their children mature into adults. You know, even sometimes, you know, we're guilty. I've been guilty when my boys were little of really just maybe overreacting to their little quirks that they may or may not have had. And basically, it boils down to this. Dinah would say, David, they're just being boys. I'm like, you're right, they're boys, and I'm going to take care of those boys, to the bedroom boys. You know, I overreacted my children's quirk. But understand this, that even as they mature and come into teenagers, sometimes that we overreact to our children's quirks that they have. So I think we just got to be careful about that. Do not overreact to the problems if you want to overcome evil for good. Then number 9. If you want to overcome evil with good, number 9, don't overstate your trials or temptations. Again, we have this idea that people sometimes tend to overstate and exaggerate the trials or the temptations that come our way. Hey, we need to realize this, that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13, no matter how much we're tempted, the Bible says there has no temptation that which taken you by such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. And so we don't want to hear overstated trials and temptations in your life that was just so heavy that you just succumbed to it. No, because Paul tells us, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, there is no temptation that comes that God does not provide a way to escape, that we may be able to bear that temptation. The problem is not with God, it's with us, that we don't want to escape the temptation. We want to be succumbed to that temptation. We enjoy that temptation that's coming our way, and we need to learn to fight against it. Number 10, what can we do if we want to overcome evil with good? Number 10, don't be overwhelmed by what you're up against. Some of these things are similar to things we already have said. They're just restated in a different way. I think to be overwhelmed is allow ourselves to be overpowered with our emotions, overpowered with the burdens that come upon our flesh, or excessive negative thinking. I think oftentimes in Christian circles today, it's not so much temptations that get us, it's that we're being overwhelmed by what you're up against. And we have this excess negative thinking, and we're wired to think negatively. I've only ever known one guy in this whole world that was wired positively, and his name was Mike Zeckley. I mean, he could cut off his leg, and he'd say, glory to God, I have one leg, Pastor, still good, amen? I'll get me a false leg, and I'll be on visitation on Tuesday night. See you there, Pastor. I mean, seriously, he had that kind of that mentality. He never allowed anything to overwhelm him. He didn't have... you hear people say, there's not a negative bone in that person. And you often think of little older ladies that maybe would be like that. Now, there's some old Cratchits too. I do understand that. But you think of some old godly lady just loves the Lord and they love you in spite of who you are and what you have done. And so, my friend, are we not to be overwhelmed? And we allow excess negative thinking to come into our life. Remember this, that the power of Christ is far greater than the op-force or the opposition force, as the military often would say. I'm reminded of 1 John 4:4. He writes and says, greater is he that is who is in you than he that is in the world. My friend, the Holy Spirit of God working in and through us is far greater than anything in this world. And just when you think that problems and predicaments and opponents are too great for you, thank God. And I think of this song, Faith is the Victory that Overcomes the World. What a wonderful song that is. John, put that on your list. Let's sing that sometimes. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. John writes in 1 John, his first epistle, chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, and the penman of this. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Let me help you. For whatsoever is born of God, what's the word? Overcometh the world. I'm going to read that again because I'm reading it and you're just hearing it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that even overcomes the world, even our faith. You see how faith plays an important part in overcoming evil with good. And it goes on to say, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So here we find that God is telling us that we are overcomers because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice number 11. If we're going to overcome evil with good, notice this. Be not overly critical. Be not overly critical. Jesus said in Matthew 7 in verse 5, that familiar passage of Scripture, thou hypocrite, first cast out thy beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know, I think if all of us, including myself, would heed Matthew 7 and verse number 5 before we begin to be overly critical of someone else, we wouldn't be any critical of just about anybody. James puts it this way, James 4, verse number 1 through 4. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. All four verses are just wonderful for you and I. But I want you to soak in the last part of verse number 4, where the Bible says, whosoever therefore be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. We talked about being soldiers for God this morning. I want to ask you again this evening, where are you at? Are you a friend of the world and an enemy of God? Or are you a friend of God and living for Him, being a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, the truth is, God always opposes the proud and He gives grace to the humble. He tells us in chapter 4, in verses 6 and 7 of James, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And notice verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So let the Lord decide what is best for you, instead of you insisting to God what you think is best for you. We tell God, God, I deserve this. I want this. I desire this. Why don't you just let God make the decision in your life? Well, how are we going to overcome evil with good? Number 12, do not overdo anything. Do not overdo anything. And there's some individuals that take certain practices to an extreme. And when they do that, they cause themselves to lose sight of the Christ-centered perspective of their faith. And begin looking at what I am doing to make God and me to be good friends. I think a well-meaning man got caught up in evangelism when he believed that he needed to go to the capital city in the world and preach the gospel. So he purchased airplane tickets to 100 different cities, capital cities, all across the world. And he preached in the city of each of the capital city, in each of those countries for one day. Finally, after several months of being on the road, he returned back home thinking that he had fulfilled Christ's great commission. Listen, we have to be careful that we don't become really too legalistic, too traditionalist, or humanistic, that we lose our balance and we lose our perspective in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to attain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. You say, well, Pastor, what else do I need to do if I want to overcome evil with good? Look at number 13. Do not overemphasize hardships. Do not overemphasize hardships. You see, people who focus on too much on the negative aspects of their life often forget about the positive parts. Again, these things are sometimes similar, but yet they're still a little bit different in application for you and I. Some people tend to overemphasize their problems because they live more out of fear than they do with faith. I thought about Moses, how he told the people of Israel not to overemphasize the difficulties when he led them into the promised land as they led them through the Red Sea experience. It's written down for us in Exodus 14, in verses 13 and 14. The Bible says this, and Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Sometimes I think when we get into the hardships of our life, I think we do well to hold our peace, as Moses told the nation of Israel. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of God. Instead of overemphasizing their immediate difficulties, we find that Moses urges the nation of Israel to trust in God's power. Not only trust in God's power, he said, wait for his deliverance. He said, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. And through all out that wilderness journey of 40 years, we find that Moses, as you study his life and the life of the nation of Israel, he's reminded them of the power of God and God's faithfulness to his children. Number 14, how are we going to overcome evil with good? Number 14, be overjoyed in the Lord. Be overjoyed in the Lord. I told you about my friend Mike Zekley. That was him. He was overjoyed in the Lord. Philippians 4:4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Psalm 37 and verse 4 tells us, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Be thankful for the good things that God has given you. You know, we enter into this month of November, and typically we point our thoughts and our hearts and our minds towards thankfulness, and we ought to do that. But listen, we ought to not just do it around Thanksgiving time. We ought to be thankful to God 24/7, 365 days of the year. The good things that you and I have and experience today are just a dream for many people in the world today. So be thankful for those things that God has entrusted you with. Just by way of a fun fact, I want you to understand this evening that approximately 1.9 million people worldwide live on less than $1 a day. Less than $1 a day. Another 689 million people globally live on less than $1.90 a day. Many of you spend more than that at Starbucks every morning before you come to church. Nothing's wrong with that. I'm just saying we know how to be thankful for what God has. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica in his first epistle, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, tells us this, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, as we close tonight, as God's children, listen, we do not have to be overcome with evil. We can overcome evil with good. Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In this world ye shall have tribulations. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." My friend, we need to place our faith and trust in the one who overcame the world. And knowing that Jesus has overcome the world ought to bring us joy. We ought to be thankful that he's overcome death, hell, and the grave. We ought to be thankful that he's overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. It serves as the foundation, the Bible tells us, for our peace with him. We see that Jesus is in control. And when we see that he's in control, we can recognize in our life that although he does leave, he doesn't abandon us. We understand that he loves us, and we acknowledge that he has victory in us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God that now lives and dwells and resides inside of us. Here's a thought as we leave. We can be of good cheer. Why can we be of good cheer? Because Jesus says we can be. Well, Alexander McLaren, as we close, wrote this: "The world conquers me when it comes between me and God. When it fills my desire, when it absorbs my energies, when it binds my eyes to the things unseen and eternal." Listen, church, we don't have to be overcome with evil. We can overcome evil with good. Let's apply these truths from God's word. And it doesn't matter what in God's sovereignty he allows to take place, whether it's assassination of Charlie Kirk, whether it's laws or rules or legislation that has been passed that we don't agree with, understand that we still can overcome evil with good because Christ has already overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Father, we thank